Today in our hot seat, we've got Evan Kramer. He's the CEO of Motion Point. Hi, Evan. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Nimzi's Inga Boonen, Chief Growth Officer, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
What it is that Motion Point does?
Motion Point is a managed outsourced translation provider, providing both technology and services for full translation of website or web content or offline document content.
This is the third time, I believe, that you act as CEO at a company, maybe in different industries. But when you were a kid, did you dream of being the big boss? Or what was your dream?
Yeah, you know, I always was interested in business when I was young, right? Definitely a very ambitious person, came from very humble beginnings and wanted to knew that I wanted to go into business and kind of work my way up, and always looking at the other side of the tracks, right? So however I could study hard and get there was my aspiration, and knew that, you know, in ninth grade when we had to dissect the frog, that medical was not, being a doctor was probably not in my future. So I needed to, I think business was my calling.
That was the moment. I like that you recall that.
So are you one of those people who work like 25 hours per day, or do you have some free time? And if you do, how do you like to spend your time?
Yeah, you know, it's busy, running a company. I tend to have very little free time. I've got, you know, two children that are 14 and 11. And so they're at the age that they keep you on your toes a little bit more than you think. And, you know, really just working and family is kind of my life. I don't, my hobby ultimately becomes an extension of work. And so trying to travel when I can is really, you know, where I try to decompress. But outside of that, it is a 25 hour type position.
Understood. And you mentioned traveling. So if you could choose any country to go to, which would be on your top three, if you could go for tourism, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, I have not been yet to Japan. That's one area that I, of the world, I haven't been in. But there's certain places that I've been that, you know, I think I need to go back to do even more. So one of my favorite trips was going to Argentina and doing excursion in Ushuaia, which is the southern tip of Argentina, and trekking a glacier. So, you know, kind of exploring more of that area and maybe getting into Patagonia and those types of places would be sort of another area that I'd like to explore.
Wow, must be fascinating places. I'm already at my last question, actually, and that is, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Yeah, I'm going to give, it's kind of a tie for two things. One was my father, when I first started my first job at a college, which probably would not pertain to advice that you would give someone today, which is always dress better than your boss. And so that was kind of one of those things where you need to take your career seriously. Make sure that people dress so that people can take you seriously. I think in today's world, it's probably who can dress down the least more than who can dress up the most. You know, and I think the other piece of advice, you know, from a professional side, probably coming from my main mentor, is that when you do have conversations, one-on-ones with people that you are managing, to give them your full attention and listen. And I know it sounds simple, but, you know, there's so many distractions today with checking your phone or, you know, having the music on in the background. But giving somebody your full attention and listening for 30 minutes or the hour that you're meeting with them, and making them feel that you that you are giving them 100% of your time, it goes a long way. So I think that that's probably the other piece of advice that I got that I've taken with me.
That's very important advice. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Evan. We got a nice idea now of who you are as a person, I think, and we learned a little bit more about you. So now I want to learn more about your career, if you're ready.
Sure.
Looking back on your career, Inge already said you are, it's the third time that you're the CEO of a company. So you must have done something right there. So then what was your first breakthrough moment in your career? Can you recall?
Yeah, I mean, it really just was a step building career. You know, so I actually graduated college as an accounting major. And so went and got my accountancy certification and realized within probably a week of being in my job that I, instead of being on the professional service side, I really wanted to be an operator. I really wanted to make the decisions and be on the business side. So when I went back to business school and graduate school, it was right around the time, the late 90s, when the internet was emerging for the first time. And I got bit by the internet, just like a lot of other folks, and really moved into the digital marketing and product development and technology, software development arena. And so really just stepping stones of types of companies and types of growth. So it was, you know, working early on with some really early startups. And then as those companies grew and became successful, moving into slightly larger companies and start slightly larger companies. And so the real breakthroughs come with the outcomes that you produce as opposed to what the company does. You know, for example, I helped start a home security company in the U.S. that we ultimately sold to DirecTV in 2013. And part of that in a very competitive industry is that I was the chief marketing officer. We created a program where we drove customer acquisition for a very low cost, lowest cost in the industry. And we did it through a lot of digital marketing and search engine optimization. And ultimately we became acquired because of the methodologies that my team deployed. And so that really put me on the map in terms of here's someone that's a leader that developed a strategy and a playbook. I think what a lot of folks are looking for is they hire CEOs or they hire C-suite leaders is not just the experience anymore, but that they develop some sort of playbook that they're able to then replicate and bring to that company. Mm-hmm. And so if that playbook's around success around search engine marketing or success around customer acquisition or success around sales or software development, you want to be able to demonstrate that playbook. And so that's, I think, where the shift has come. So you asked me back around, you know, what's the real break I got or the stepping stone? It's, I think, being able to have enough opportunities where I'm well-rounded enough to have playbooks in a lot of different areas, right? Mm-hmm. So I've got a sales playbook, a marketing playbook, a technology playbook, and these can flex depending on, mm-hmm. you know, how the company is that, you know, not everything's going to fit exactly. And it needs to be nuanced, but developing those playbooks is really the strength.
Thanks for sharing that. And then kind of on the other side a little bit of the coin, what kind of lessons have you learned throughout your career? I mean, you know, there's the successes, but then there's also the missteps. So yeah. Can you recall something there and what you've learned from it?
Yeah, I think the missteps have been around managing people as opposed to managing a strategy, right? And I think where I excelled initially, you know, just being very academic and very strategic is developing a strategy that if executed would be successful, right? And so you get very driven on the plays and the playbook, but not the people executing the plays and the playbook. And so I do think earlier in my career, you know, how you manage people, how you create, develop them, how you cultivate them, how you bring them along, in certain situations, how you define your culture. I don't think I was very good at that early in my career. And I think it took me a while to really adapt to, becoming a manager of people and not just a manager of strategy. So I think a lot of the missteps mm-hmm. were early on with people management. Mm-hmm. That if I didn't have those missteps, I don't think I would have been as prepared as I am today?
So you've been the CEO of three different companies in different industries. What do you find was the most innovative thing that you've ever done?
I think that it's really about, in all three examples, to be honest, that there's a common thread, which is around digital transformation, right? Where how do you take something that was more of a traditional service, whether it was an educational product that was delivered in person, a marketing product that was delivered more traditionally, or a translation product that was delivered through human translation, right? And how do you digitally transform all those? And I think all three of those, I think, developed innovation around transforming the modality of more human manual delivery to more digital delivery. So in the education technology company, we created an adaptive learning platform where it optimizes against what you don't know to help you learn quicker and faster, instead of just reading one chapter at a time, right? In my marketing services company, we were able to deploy more remote learning capabilities than through in-person learning and how we market to consumers. And in the translation industry, we're right now in the process of innovating around how do you deliver human quality translation without fully using humans to translate everything, right? So I think the innovation is around, in my past, is around that digital transformation.
Thank you for sharing that. And I was wondering, so it's since September that you are working in the language services industry. How did you choose to take on that challenge, and how has it been thus far working in this industry?
The investors involved with MotionPoint, I got to know and really trust them and their vision. I really like the employee base and the people. The culture of the business over the last 20 years has been a very diverse global culture. And I think the category in and of itself is going through a lot of innovation and disruption. And those are kind of all the different ingredients that really excite me. You get into a category that's not going through a lot of change, it's really hard to innovate. And so mm-hmm. I think the opportunity for innovation here is interesting. And in fact, I started MotionPoint in September of last year, so it's been barely 6 months. And in that time, ChatGPT was launched, right? And YouTube just announced that they're going to, be marketing dubbing in multiple languages. And so every day in the news, you're hearing more and more about sort of language distribution and multilingual capabilities and technology being involved. So it is getting thrust into an innovative category.
Evan, can you tell us a little bit more about MotionPoint and kind of what makes the company special? What's the secret sauce to your company's success?
The MotionPoint brand has never been one that spent a lot of time, marketing and becoming a sort of a well-known name in the category. But, we were consistently in the top, the NIMSY 100 and, constantly being talked about in terms of where innovation is. And I'd say over the last 22 years, we've definitely pioneered the proxy-based solution for website translation. We probably have the best proxy in the world, and it's really hard, getting more and more difficult to articulate that because of so many things that are out there. But we do believe that we need to move beyond the proxy and also extend capabilities to those that are using, connectors or APIs to do translation. And where can we add that value? And so we're spending a lot of time with AI. We have a new chief product and technology officer. We're in the process of doubling the size of our R&D team. And so you're going to see a lot more from MotionPoint in the coming days, weeks, and months around innovation and technology that we're advancing that can reach a much larger audience. So when you talk about websites that need translation, the front-end frameworks, the CMSs involved with today's world are becoming more and more complex. So if you're using WordPress or Drupal or Sitecore, right, those are becoming more sophisticated, more features. And even though there's a temptation and ability to manage it multilingual through your own CMS, there is a lot of complexity to how you export, import the content on the site, right? And so I think what MotionPoint does really well is our JavaScript parsing, our ability to web engineer for you, the ability to do QAing, the ability to get access to all of the dynamic content changes that are out there, and really allow or enable our customers to focus on what they do well, which is marketing. And then we take care of all the translation. So I think that's really what we have been doing well. But for those that want to manage on their own technology platform, I think that's where we'll be present more. And we will be start innovating in those areas. And you'll see a lot of announcements in the next that I'm not willing to announce yet today, but I believe in the next few weeks or months, there'll be some major announcements that we will have to talk about those new features and services that we will provide.
My last question for you today, Evan, what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs who are starting their own business in the language industry today?
The biggest advice I would give is to focus on outcome. You know, I think a lot of what has been set up in the language industry has been around defining process to do translation. So you think about like a TMS, a translation management system, right? That's inherently about setting up workflows and setting up projects and managing translation as a business, even an LSP. But I think if you start from scratch today, it's about what is the outcome you're trying to achieve? What is whether it's the translation quality or the translation speed, think about the outcome and kind of work backwards. I think you're going to get there much faster. So that's kind of the advice I would give an entrepreneur today in the language and the translation industry.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. And thank you, Evan, for joining us in the hot seat. Yeah. We didn't make you sweat too much, I believe. If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seats.
Yes, and for the viewers at home, thank you so much for watching and look out for the next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website.